ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two. 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. Missed the first hour, a lot of good stuff. Talked a lot of football, talked some Monday Night Football, threw out some meaningless stats that were kind of fun, and had some pretty good phone calls. And since we haven't had a chance to take a lot of calls for the last 4 days, since we were either in Dallas or out yesterday in Pearland, we're squeezing a few today. So if you want to get in and you're just joining us, just getting off work, I know traffic's going to suck. Just relax. We'll get you home in one piece. Jason just tweeted us a photo, said his son Grayson is on the way home from his hospital getting his first blitz in. That's how you do it, Jameson. You get them listening before they're right on the way home from a hospital. Well done, sir. Well played. Okay, I promise you this story because I'll say this for the record right now. If either one of you guys can make a case why they're right about this, I will go on right now and buy their site for a year.
Okay.
Okay? You watched that Chargers game, right?
I did.
Chargers-Jaguars. You know how they grade quarterbacks? Like 0 to 59 is poor. 60 to 69 below average, 70 to 79 average, 80 to 84 above average, 85 to 89 high quality, 90 to 99.9 is elite. Okay. Phillip Rivers had a pretty good game, huh?
Decent.
Four touchdown passes?
Yeah.
17 to 24. That's good. 220 yards, 9.2 yard average, four touchdowns, zero interceptions. Now, if you're grading that using any kind of standard, where do you think you put that on that scale?
I would put that high on the scale. That seems good.
That seems above average to me, right?
Yeah, that seems like quality.
I would say 80 to 84, above average.
Yeah.
Maybe even 85 to 89, high quality. I mean, 17 to 24, 220, four touchdowns, zero interceptions. They actually gave him a 46.1. And only 1.1 points higher than Blake Bortles, who threw two interceptions and averaged only 6.6 yards per attempt. And the explanation was, says, when people see four passing touchdowns, they will presume Phillip Rivers was the sole source of the Chargers' offensive production. However, most of his passes traveled under 10 yards in the air, as he only attempted seven passes over 10 yards. Well, actually, that's quite a few, considering they didn't have to throw the ball much in the second half.
Yeah.
And completing four for 63 yards. Ooh, that's four for 63 out of seven. The success of the Chargers offense came as the Jaguars were unable to cover short crossing routes, with the San Diego wide receivers able to turn the corner and gain extra yardage after the catch. All right, even if you buy into all that, how on earth do you give him a poor grade for completing those passes?
I don't have an answer for that. I don't understand their science, I guess.
Well, he also had a couple of deep passes in that game. He had a near interception near the end of the game when he forced a pass into double coverage, and there was a strip sack in the red zone. Those were the negative plays. That's it. Is that enough to make it a 46.1?
Doesn't make sense to me. What?
Jong?
Not really.
All right, so
it was 21-0 at halftime, and then fourth quarter came around. It was 38-0, so I don't understand why he would get a poor grade when he threw four touchdowns and they didn't have to run the ball, like AJ said, in the second half, or they didn't have to pass the ball.
Yeah,
just All right. I was just hoping you guys could give me some reason why this wasn't total BS.
Let's see if I can find a different spin on it to make you buy this.
I don't think
there is one.
No.
I don't either.
That's just silly. That is going out of your way to try to pick apart a good performance to try to prove some point to make it look like you're smarter than everybody.
And I know that Phillip Rivers and Blake Bortles didn't have close like their games weren't similar because Blake Bortles is my quarterback in my big money league and he had negative points for a very long time and not until it was garbage time that he started throwing these touchdowns.
Well, according to these guys, they essentially had the same game.
No.
So. All right. Fine. I'm not buying it then. In fact, I'm not using them for anything anymore except to make fun of them.
All right. I'm okay with
Plus,
that.
I found out Chris Collinsworth owns half that site now. That probably explains why it's gone to hell. Let's grab a phone call.
Shame.
Thank you, John. Well played, sir. Let's grab Adam. What's up?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, so I was looking at the lines last night, and I came across Texans-Patriots. Texans minus 2.5. And took some money on it. I think I did it a little bit prematurely. Today, I opened it up, and I saw Texans as a pick'em. And I'm kind of wondering just, you know, what's the deal with that line movement? I feel like Texans are overall just a completely better team at this moment. I know who the Patriots are. They're at home. You got Belichick. But can you just kind of – I just want to hear your thoughts on that. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
You know what? Honestly, if I saw it couldn't – and no one knows because Belichick plays everything's a big secret with him. But if Gronk plays, that totally changes my mind on what Jacoby Brissett would be able to do against the Texans.
Well, and I think part of the line movement could easily have been that Gronk was a limited participant in practice. And then the Ed Werder tweet that, oh, Garoppolo might play. And people will jump on that and start betting it the other way. If you have those two, then the Patriots should be favored by 4 or 5 points, in my opinion.
But honestly, to say the Texans are a much better team, I don't know that you can say that. I don't know how you can say that. You know, the Patriots, if they had Tom Brady, I mean, clearly it's not even a discussion who the better team is, in my opinion. But
yeah, I think even with Garoppolo, they'd be favored.
I mean,
the way that guy played for until he got hurt.
We talk with RJ all the time about how much players are worth, how many points they're worth. My guess is the drop-off from Garoppolo to Brissett to these line, you know, these Vegas wise guys is maybe a point. Maybe.
Well, to be fair, Garoppolo had a lot of time to prepare for this, and Brissett's getting down into it. So, I think that if no Gronk and Brissett's playing, yes, the Texans should be favored. They should win the football game. But I also I've seen, like I said, we all wrote the Patriots off week one, didn't we?
Yeah.
How'd that work out? Somebody tweeted me something the other day after the Louisville game, what the line would be between Alabama and Louisville on a neutral field after Louisville destroyed Florida State.
It'd be Bama minus 3, probably.
I had said Bama minus 4.5.
Okay. I mean, just based on what we saw this last week where Bama struggled and Louisville opposite of struggled.
Yeah.
I would say 3. I would say if you'd asked me before this week happened, I would say probably your number's probably pretty close, 4.5.
See, four. I think as it plays out the rest of the season, that's where the number will be. So Event said that guy said the Texans were better at this point considering the absences. If those guys are absent, I don't think either one's gonna play. It doesn't really make any sense to bring Garoppolo back on short rest off of that injury. It makes less sense to bring Gronk back when you'll have plenty more time to get him healthy and he'll be able to come back for week 4. So I don't anticipate seeing either guy. And like I said, that being the case, on paper, the Texans look a hell of a lot better. I also would caution people, though, before they start unloading the bank accounts, that, you know, if Belichick schemes Osweiler into some mistakes, which I could see happening, then, yeah, like I said, I would just be – those of you who are already putting this down as a W, just put it down in pencil.
Yeah.
Don't go on your big board and mark a W just yet. So, Matt says, amazing it took you this long to eject on PFF. In December, they said Donaldson was better than JJ. In April, they said JJ was better. Lamont, I pretty much objected on these guys a year ago. I haven't bought the site in a year. I only used them for offensive line. And even that now seems silly because I'll look at stuff and say, what? I watched that game. That guy wasn't any good. Or, well, he didn't give up a sack. He didn't have a – nobody ran him over and made a tackle. No penalties. And he's got a 4? Okay. It's just subjective, just like anything else. What are the odds? I'll still be in traffic on What Are the Odds Wednesday. Depends on what highway you're on, pal. I'm going to say if it's 45 or 290, the odds are pretty good.
Forever.
713-780-ESPN. I'm getting a lot of the same question from Cowboy fan about, you know, does Prescott still play when Romo comes? No, it's not even a debate. Stop with that. Kid's done a good job, but there's no chance in hell that there's any kind of discussion.
I think Jerry Jones said himself that they'd be a lot better team right now if they had Tony Romo.
Of course. And they'd be 2-0 right now if they had a healthy Tony Romo. They would have beaten the Giants. And the Redskins game wouldn't have been that close. And I know you guys are all falling in love with this cat, but just pump the brakes a little bit.
One thing he does do is he's way more protective of the football than Tony Romo.
He is.
Now, that said, there's a lot of guys that are real protective. Alex Smith is usually pretty protective of the football. Last week, maybe an exception.
Right.
But then people say, oh, that's not exciting enough for people. It's not that doesn't do it for people. They want that guy who's going to go out there and make big plays. Tony Romo will make big plays.
Right.
That Dak Prescott would never make.
But I think Alex Smith's a pretty good comparison for him.
I think that's like where he could, if things go right, he could be an Alex Smith.
Yeah. I think that's very fair. All right. Hey, guys, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top sites, and now you can. And I'm telling you, if you want to get the best possible person for the job, you need ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. And you can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface.
Yep, no juggling emails or calls to your office. You quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter's been used by over 1 million businesses, and it can help your business because everyone knows the hardest part of running a business is hiring. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/play. That's ZipRecruiter.com/play. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/play.
I speak like I know things. The truth is I'm blind. No, I can't.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Cowboys Bears Sunday Night Football, 7 p.m. Sunday on ESPN 97.5, presented by Berryman Automotive Products.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hey, we didn't follow up, though, Jong. You said you got the 6 rookies the Texans defeated. So share them with the people.
Derek Carr, Mettenberger twice, Winston, and then Bortles twice.
Okay. So Mettenberger, really the only dog in there.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it plays out, man. It certainly is going to be entertaining, to say the least. The good news is about these short weeks, well, for us it's fun because we don't have to wait long.
Right.
And you know, we can just start diving right into it. But the good news is after the game, you got a week and a half for your next game. You can get some guys healed up. And I think you'll see a much different Patriots team in a week and a half than what you see here. But the end of the season, man, if you win this game, you're not going to worry about whether the guys were there or not. You're just going to worry about, okay, if it comes down to playoffs and we got the same record, well, guess what? You get home field. So let's grab Jason. What's up, Jason?
Sports guys. Hey, I was just wondering, saw the line of the Baylor-Oklahoma State game was Baylor was minus 10 at home this weekend. They haven't covered, I don't think, once this year. Do you think that they'll cover this weekend? I'll hang up and listen.
I was all over Rice the other night because they're not running it up, but this is different. This is the real season starts now. So I'm sorry, I haven't even looked at it yet. I can't really go beyond that. I know it doesn't do any good to say I'm not going to look until tomorrow, does it?
It doesn't. Nobody cares.
You're just going to keep asking.
Listen,
right?
I think that Baylor, I've been against Baylor every week so far. I don't know when they're going to catch up. 10 sounds like a close number. I'll probably end up being on the opposite side of Baylor again this week.
Yeah, I mean, this will be the first time they're actually playing a real team, and 10 points is a lot, but I just haven't done the research on it yet. Somebody says Alex Smith didn't turn the ball over against the Texans. You missed the two fumbles? Throw any interceptions.
No.
Now, he was the one fumble was a snap over his head, but he's still charged with that.
Yeah.
So, but the other one, the strip sack.
That was him not holding on to the ball.
And I get guys saying, oh, it's not Cowboys fans who want Dak. It's Cowboys haters. No, it's Cowboys fans. I have friends who are seriously enamored with this guy and think that, oh, he's going to be better. So, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Ken, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, first, thanks for what you guys do. You guys are awesome. Streaming you guys on the app right now on I-10 on the way to New Orleans.
Right on. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Fred, this is you. I had a World Cup of Hockey question. Thought we'd throw you a bone. I've been seeing on the schedule that although it's all the countries and everything, there's a Team North America and a Team Europe. I'm always a little caught off guard by that. Trying to understand what that's all about when you have European and North American teams participating individually.
It's funny because I already answered this earlier. Well, I didn't answer it. One more time. Here's what we're going to do. John, remember this, 5:20. So when I get this question again, we say go to the podcast, 5:20 on Tuesday. What they decided to do, because there's not enough good teams, and they didn't want it to be like the Olympics where you have Germany with a team and somebody gets, they, you know, Canada beats them 9-0. They didn't want to do that. So what they did was they took the six best teams and then created two teams to make it eight. The Team Europe is basically, so a guy like Anze Kopitar would not have been able to play in this, but with Team Europe, now he can because they've got enough players to have, you know, Switzerland and team in places like that. And then Team North America, what they did was took an under-23 team of all these guys who theoretically weren't good enough to make the national team yet, although a couple of them were. Under-23 Canada and U.S. guys. So it gives you eight teams theoretically that are pretty good. And that was their idea, was to try to have a tournament where you didn't have any pushovers. So you created two all-star teams. Does that even clarify it for you?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. Here's what it'd be like. If you were doing basketball in the Olympics, and realistically, what, there's four teams that are worth a damn? U.S., Spain, Argentina, Australia, France, I guess. All right, so there's five, and let's throw one more in there. Russia. So you had those six teams, then you decided, hey, you know what? Let's take all-stars from the rest of the U.S. and have a U.S. B team, and let's have a Europe B team so that you have eight teams that didn't suck. Because the second team for the U.S. would be pretty damn good, theoretically.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what this is. I hope that explains it.
For the fifth time.
All right, so 5:20, and enjoy your trip to New Orleans, man. Let's try Bob. What's up, Bob?
Hey, fellow sports.
Sports to you.
I was just curious, you know, I saw the new rankings for the AP. Just curious who you guys think is probably the most overrated team in the top 10. I'll hang up and listen.
Most overrated team in the top 10.
This is where I remind we will have our own rankings at 6 o'clock today.
Yeah. off the top of my head, I would say Clemson does not look like they should be ranked where they are. And I would say Aggie in the top 10 is suspect to me.
I think part of that is we just don't know what Auburn is. And they've got two wins over decent programs. And I thought that was a pretty big jump. I don't really have a problem with it.
No, I don't either, but I just don't – I don't know that I think they're one of the 10 best teams.
Well, and I think some of those teams that are on the fringes like Wisconsin, I'm not sure about either.
Yeah.
So, let's squeeze in one more here before the break. Is that Wayne? I'm hoping that's just – they messed up your name and it's actually Wayne and not Wayani. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Sports.
Sports. Yeah, I'm trying to get the gauge on the Miami Dolphin game. They're playing Cleveland. Cleveland's on their third-string quarterback as well. And I was, they're playing Cleveland at home, and everybody keeps saying Cleveland's like the worst team out there. Wondering if they were going to go over on the over-under. What you guys thought about that one. Trying to figure if I should put a bet on that or wait. But I'll hang up and listen.
Can we just get into it? Why does everybody want to make their bets on Tuesday?
Yeah, listen, man.
I make like maybe one bet before Sunday morning. Like you just have so much more information if you wait until later in the week. What's the rush with you guys? Everybody get it's like the day after Monday Night Football. Everybody's like, all right, I cannot wait to make my bets for next Sunday. You're gonna get so much more information if you just wait. I mean, if I told you now that the under on the Browns game is good, and then later on this week, say Saturday or even Sunday morning, they say, oh, looks like McCown's going to be able to play. That would totally change everything. I don't understand the rush for everybody to bet their football games 5 days before they happen.
I have a theory on this.
Please explain it to me too. Because I don't get it.
Let's hear Jong's first. We'll see if it's the same thing.
I think a lot of people like to punch their ticket and show their friends. And say, hey, this is what I'm playing this week, and kind of brag and say, I'm going to jump on this early. And then when.
I mean, but yeah, what are people doing? Going around with their iPads and showing people their.
Maybe.
That's very strange to me.
There's a lot of people that do that with DraftKings. They'll show you your lineup and say, hey. And it's the same thing with their fantasy team. They'll say, hey, I got Todd Gurley and I got, I don't know, let's see, Todd Gurley and Adrian Peterson on the same team in my fantasy draft. What do you think about my lineup?
I think that's the same thing. Wouldn't you be more likely to show off your DraftKings lineup on Sunday morning? Like, is anybody setting their DraftKings lineup on Tuesday? I mean, if so,
you're probably losing.
So.
I can't imagine that's the case. Why are they in such a hurry to bet? What's your theory, friend?
My theory is, it's two part really. Some guys just think they won't be able to get into the show later in the week, which is fine. You probably won't, but we go over all these games. We go over every single NFL game on Friday at 5 o'clock. So, if you're new to the show, that's cool. The other theory is, I think if you lost your ass last night, it's the first thing you do is try to get right back into it and say, I've got to have these games.
Boy,
that's a very common thing. Not me either.
I had a bad NFL weekend this weekend, which means that I'm going to have to spend a lot more time and be a lot more careful about what I'm actually playing this week to try to get some of that back. I'm not going to go willy-nilly throwing money around.
He says, you do realize pro bettors bet early in the week, right? That's when you get the best lines. No, pro bettors bet when they get the best line for them. It's not
pro bettors bet when they get their best number. Sometimes it's early, sometimes it's late. But
you know what? Pro bettors are actually looking at it on Monday morning. I'm not looking at it until Wednesday. It takes that long to run a computer program. And I have no interest in making a bet on a football game today. There are times, yes, absolutely. I'll scan them real quick to see if something's out of line and... Yeah, the first thing I saw was that, but I'm not betting it. I'm going to monitor it all week long. So, sorry.
And if pro bettors get their bets in early and you want to do that on your little $20 bet, go talk to a pro bettor. Go pay a tout.
Yeah.
You want to do that? I mean, I'm not making my decisions that early because, you know, I like money mostly. And if I were a pro bettor, I wouldn't be sitting here on the radio.
Look, stupids, maybe they ask when it's convenient to them and not to you. Say the answer or say you don't know. Quit berating your audience.
I'm not berating anyone.
I'm just saying that this has nothing to do with that one particular call. This is in general. This is like the fourth or fifth question we've had about lines today, and it's Tuesday. So, I mean, it's just hard for me to understand.
And listen, Mr. Calling Me Stupids, not here to do things when it's convenient for you.
Right.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going to text my wife during the break and say, hey, what's for dinner next Monday? You know what she's going to tell me? Hey, idiot, I have no idea. Because, you know, I've got like 6 days until then. So I don't know. Maybe it's just my personal preference, but we need to cut off questions about point spreads and lines until Wednesday at the absolute earliest.
Unless, hey, and we've said this before, if there's something that jumps out on Monday that one of us sees, we'll tell you.
Yeah.
We've always done that. So if something had jumped out today, we'd have told you. But, you know, hey.
All right. I'm going to tell you guys about Allied Outdoor Solutions. You know, as the seasons change, you want to revitalize your outdoor living area with the custom style and quality you've come to expect from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Call the pros at Allied Outdoor Solutions to get ready. They can beautify your backyard with custom outdoor kitchens, outdoor water, fire features, and they can renovate your fading pool deck or your grayed out patio with a carved stone overlay. Carved stone gives you that superior look of real stone on your existing surface, except for way less money. Because tearing everything out and starting over and putting stone down is not a cheap thing. Carved stone's trialed, hand-carved, custom-colored for your home, so it looks great. It's twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind carved stone with a 7-year warranty. If you've currently got a blank slate going in the backyard, Allied will build your space from the ground up. Whether you want to go with just a functional concrete patio or you want to go big with the outdoor kitchen and the patio cover, they can take care of it all. They can help you on residential and commercial projects, and they've got a bunch of monthly payment options as well. They even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. Save yourself that hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Get a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less money from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by that showroom, see what they can do for your backyard. It's I-10 and Beltway. Or you can check out the Carved Stone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. Or call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
For sports is ESPN 97.5.
Behold the King, the King of Kings. On your knees, Doug.
Howdy, Houston. Dave South here. Sports!
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. I think most of our texters are those kids who got trophies playing soccer when everybody got them as a kid, and they just want everything their way. Feel free not to text the show. Jerome Solomon joins us. You can follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle columnist. He's used to dealing with Dick Weeds. What's going on, buddy?
Why are you attacking the lonely texters? Hey, come
on. Oh, hey, man. I'm sure that if they could get laid or get a date or do anything, then they wouldn't be texting stupid stuff, but they can't, so...
Poor Texas.
I understand. I'm sure I was like that at one time. Can't really remember it, but.
Yeah, you were six. Your love life was not quite happening at six.
Yeah, well, that was having
you
to pay.
Turned at seven.
I was having to pay for it at that age, so. So, so are you heading back to your old stomping grounds Thursday, or is somebody
Indeed.
Else? All right, so yeah. Tell me a short week. Third-string quarterback, Texans favored. Tell me why that's not a good idea.
They're going to Foxborough for a night game. And there's a coach over there called Bill Belichick. This is all set up. This is how sad being a Houstonian for as long as we've all been Houstonians does to you. This all sets up for... Well, big letdown. Patriots do what they do, and the Texans, you know, prove they're not ready for prime time. Or Texans roll and you know, and all of a sudden they shoot up on all of these fake power rankings deals and they just roll and everything's beautiful. And of course they get in the playoffs and the Patriots just stomp them like mud rats. But it's, you're already anticipating where it's going to be ugly. That's the life of Houstonian, because you know it's going to be ugly at some point. We just don't know when. I cannot see them going up there and losing this game without Osweiler falling apart and throwing a lot of interceptions. And to this point, he's shown that he can throw one or two, but he, I give him credit. He hasn't, you know, he doesn't look scared. And that's, you know, that's non-Texan quarterback-like for the last 3 years or so.
Yeah, he does have a little gunslinger in him, but that's not always a good thing. He also seems to react to these interceptions pretty well in terms of trying to fix them. Is that a positive that you see out of him? Is it maybe, you know, maybe he can get these things cleaned up?
Yeah, I mean, he has a mentality, or at least his spoken mentality sounds like that kind of guy, because after each one of those interceptions and even preseason, he said, well, I did this. You know, he wouldn't say specifically what he did wrong. And sometimes he would. He'll say it was a bad throw, it was that. And he's like, you won't see that again, or I won't make that mistake again, which, you know, we know is not true, but it's good for a guy to say that. But like you say, I mean, he, you know, he's thrown interceptions on the first drive and came right back and didn't seem to be flustered by it. And that's the difference in a guy that can turn into a player versus one who can't be. They, you know, they continue to make mistake after mistake after mistake. But if they're having a good day, they have a good day. But when they have a bad one, they have continue to have a bad one. You got to give him credit to this point anyway of being a guy that just doesn't seem to lose confidence in what he can do and his ability. And that'll be important as they start. You know, he hadn't played on the road yet. You know, so that'll be important in a night game on the road with the world watching on Thursday night. It'll be fascinating to continue to chart his growth.
How good was that win over the Chiefs? They didn't run the ball as well. Miller had 80 yards, but the average was very low. How much of that was the Chiefs' defense, or is that still a concern? And how good was that win overall for them?
I mean, a win is a win, so I'll never discount how good a win can be for you. But the Chiefs didn't exactly put up a heck of a fight offensively. Granted, the Texans defense is going to do that to some teams, but I just don't get the sense that this Chiefs offense knew how to attack, which is a bit of a surprise for an Andy Reid coached team. They just didn't quite have the weapons and didn't know how to get to them either. And offensively, I don't think this offensive line is any good. So they're not going to run the ball on too many teams. And that can be an issue and might turn into one as we go forward. And certainly when you get later in the season, the weather changes and you're playing better teams and, you know, playoffs like that. But for now, you know, they're throwing the ball enough to get away with it. And, you know, that's all you have to do is get away with it on the day that you're playing. It doesn't matter, you know, how many yards per carry you average. They did run it in the fourth quarter when they needed to in that one drive that ate up some clock and got to a field goal. So, you know, that's better than not running it for the entire game, for sure.
Jerome Solomon is our guest, Houston Chronicle columnist, and wanted to get to the college games this weekend. And there were, you know, Texas goes in and loses, and there's talk of making changes on the defense now. A&M got a big win. What's going on at Texas? I think right when we start thinking they've turned it around, they go out there and in the middle of the night basically just lay a turd.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie Strong is just, you know, the guy can coach some football. Whether or not he can CEO and be the head coach at a place like the University of Texas, the evidence at this point indicates that he can't, you know, or he's not very good at it. He's learning, but this is not the job. It's not a learn on the job kind of job. And so, you know, he's been there, you know, two plus seasons, and he's already, you know, gone through 90% of his staff. And so meaning he hired the wrong guys. And so early last season, his offensive coordinators weren't good enough. And now you're going to tell me that early in this season, his defensive coordinator isn't good enough? And I mean, how do you not know these things? How do you not fix these things? How do you not have handled these things beforehand? And defense is his calling card. His defense is supposed to be good. And one of the somebody on Twitter last week after I talked to you, or maybe the week before, when I mentioned, you know, this gimmicky offense. Well, that, your defense isn't good, real good. That gimmicky offense will get your defense eat alive. And so they look like Texas Tech back in the day in some of those games. And that's, you know, you're in the Big 12, you're going to see a lot of this. And if that's what their defense is going to be, if they're going to be that kind of team, Charlie Strong won't be the head coach there very long.
Should the Aggies be in the top 10 after beating Auburn?
I'm one of those people that they're not one of the best 10 teams in the country. But, you know, I when I ranked and I, you know, voted for almost 10 years, I always give, you know, what a team deserved basis, not about how good I thought they were. So now I don't have a problem with it. It doesn't matter. You know,
yeah.
they play enough teams down the road. We'll know what they're made of. We'll find out what they actually are. So now I don't have a problem with them being at 10 now. Like, I don't have a problem with U of H being at 6, because that's kind of where they deserve to be based on where you thought Oklahoma was going to be. But I don't think U of H is the 6th best team in the country. But, you know, they might be the 4th best team by the end of the year. We don't know. We'll see. You know, it's going to be fascinating to see what Louisville does going forward now that, you know, they've got a big target on their back as opposed to being the hunter. And, you know, they got to go to Clemson for a game before they come to U of H for one. So it's all going to be fun. We've got a lot of football left.
All right. That's Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle columnist, does a great job, joins us every week. Jerome, have a good time up there, and we will talk to you when you get back, man.
All right, man. Take care.
All right.
What did you think of him saying UH is not the 6th best team?
They're the 4th best team.
I guess we'll talk about that at 6 o'clock. Right now I'm going to talk to you about Mann Centers and Dr. Russell William there at Mann Centers. Dr. Williams has performed over 11,000 vasectomies and is one of the top urologists in the entire country. And he does the no-scalpel vasectomies, which is exactly what I did. And, guys, I'm telling you, the worry and the anxiety going into the procedure, way worse than the actual procedure. Doesn't take anything, doesn't hurt. It's maybe discomfort at the most, and it takes 10 minutes. There's no scalpel, no needle. It's not terrifying. The horror stories you hear, you don't have to deal with that. And if you're not looking for a vasectomy, you still need to make sure that you're taken care of down there. You need to make sure all the plumbing's working. And they focus on general male wellness, sexual dysfunction, low testosterone, urinary pain, genital pain, prostate abnormality, kidney stone treatment and prevention, testicular cancer evaluation. They can do it all. Don't wait till something gets too bad, guys, before you go get it checked out. The key is finding this stuff early and getting it taken care of. That's what the guys at Mann Centers are doing. They're making it super easy on you. They've got online check-in. They've got kiosks up front. If you don't want to check in online, you don't have to deal directly with a receptionist there. Very, very simple and very quick. You can go in and get this stuff done over a lunch break if that's what you want to do. They're 9190 Katy Freeway there in Houston, or you can check them out online at manncenters.com or give them a call, 832-358-8600. Go in there. Get yourself checked out, guys. It's not worth it to wait around. Mann Centers, mancenters.com.
Get lost in my thoughts, in my cubicle, where I earn a tiny wage. In my cubicle, where I wrote this, what I'm saying. In my cubicle.
You're listening to The Blitz, The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. Are you tired of your puppy ruling the roost and you're looking for a little help turning your beast into a sidekick? Man's Best Friend is your answer. We're giving away a $250 gift card to Man's Best Friend to help you turn Monster into a companion. Log on to ESPN975.com to enter for your chance to win. Offering obedience training, protection training, doggy daycare, and boarding. Man's Best Friend is your answer because they know Fido isn't just any other friend.
Woof, that's woof.
Sweet. Yeah, it is sweet.
I like when John plays the woof, woof.
Yeah.
My dog is so much better since coming back from Man's Best Friend.
Oh, yeah?
I got to tell you.
That's awesome.
My goodness.
You have to tell me about that now, or is there a certain...
No, I don't have to tell you about it now. I'll tell you about it next time I have a live read. But, yeah, that's a legitimate
That worked, huh?
Yeah, that's not, this one. I'm not. They're not paying me to tell you this right now. My dog is way better.
Well,
woof woof.
Thank you.
You should give me some flyers so I can, that's go, my I can dog. Go hand them out to people in my building whose dogs need training big time. I want to address this without being a dickweed because it's a fair question. It's just I think people are looking at it the wrong way. So if you don't want people asking about betting, stop promoting sports betting.
I'm not saying don't ask saying about that. Betting, and I love talking to people about gambling, and I love that that's a part of, you know, that our show at least has accepted that as part of, you know, what the NFL is about, because the reason the NFL is as popular as it is and sports in general are popular as they are because people gamble on it. I get that. No one has embraced that more than us. All I'm saying is wait until you have information to make bets.
Well, and I guess the point that I'm going to try to make here is, and I know a lot of you are new to the show. I get that. But we've every week we'll get 4 or 5 calls on Tuesday. And we all say the same thing. We haven't looked yet. We won't look until Wednesday or Thursday. And, you know, so sorry, can't really help you. You know what that's like? If you're sitting in your office and somebody comes and asks you the same question 4 times about the same thing and you give them the same answer and they keep coming back, are you going to say, oh, come ask me that question again? Are you going to say, guys, we haven't looked yet. We don't have any opinions. And it's not just that, man. I get those on Twitter all the time and it's the same thing. And I respond to everybody. I don't do any of my computer work until at least Wednesday. And so I can't give you an opinion.
Well, and the other thing that drives me crazy is I typically, and I didn't this weekend, it was a busy weekend for me, but I typically post my entire card.
Yeah.
And I'll post my plays and then people will instantly ask me what I think about another game. And if I had a strong feeling about that game, it would be listed there amongst my plays.
Yeah.
If I don't say anything about it, it probably means that I don't feel comfortable playing it, which means I don't feel comfortable recommending it to someone else to play. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's like I do that thing now every Friday where I do a guide. Okay, here's the stuff I'm looking at. Here's the ones I'm playing for sure. Here's the other games I'm looking at. Here's the ones the computer spits out. And inevitably, but what do you think about this one? It's like, I got 7 games on there, man. If it's not there, I don't have an opinion on it. And I feel bad when people ask, and I got to say, I don't have an opinion. I can't really help. But that's the reality. So, listen, man, we're more than happy to answer questions. We're more than happy to engage in discussions about it. It's just, as we've said a lot of times today already, neither one of us have really looked at it yet. And I just for mental relaxation, I need to take a Tuesday off from worrying about betting.
Yeah.
I'll take a quick look to see if anything jumps out. But usually it's Wednesday or Thursdays when I start getting the numbers, and that's when I'll...
And Lamont says, but ultimately fans are leaning on us because we're the only local resource and we invite it. And like I said, I do invite it. I do want to talk about it. I just invite it on Thursday and Friday when I actually have done research. And I could give you my completely uneducated guess on a Monday or Tuesday. But then the problem with that is next Monday, somebody will call and say, oh, you said this was going to happen. Yeah. And dude, I'm telling you, I've given, like, that's me having just barely looked at the number. What I do often is after the Sunday games are played, I'll write down the teams that I'm looking for a good number on.
Yeah.
And that's like the first thing I'll check on Monday is if I'm getting the number I want on those teams that are going to be in good spots or bad spots, which, by the way, didn't work this week with the Bears. But the Bears were a team that I was hoping to get a good number on. I got a number I liked and I played that game early. It didn't work.
Right.
But that's the only things I'll do that with is if a team that I have circled for that week has a number that I like, I'll play it early. Other than that, I wait until Sunday morning because there's so much that can happen.
Yeah, the only one I punched early this week was a loser, too. Saints-Giants over. I punched that one early in the week. And somebody points out, really good thing. You guys need to realize it's free advice. At 5 o'clock every Friday, we're giving you free advice. So, yeah. Anyway, let's do this Adi Jewelers Gem of the Day.
It's the gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Sanok Jeweler gym of the day.
Well, it's Florida. It's old people. And it involves shuffleboard. What could go wrong? A dispute on a Florida shuffleboard court turned violent yesterday.
They call it a court?
I guess it is. Well, for the old people that do it, I guess they have a court. It's not like I think that's what it's called. That's certainly what the story calls it. An 81-year-old man allegedly punched a fellow pensioner, I guess that means fellow old person, and struck him with his shuffleboard cue. The confrontation occurred Wednesday afternoon at the Pinellas Park Senior Center, which includes an open-air pavilion with 16 shuffleboard courts. Police charged that Herbert Hayden had a verbal argument that escalated into a physical altercation. Hayden then allegedly punched the victim in the face, hit him with a shuffleboard cue.
Seems legit.
Causing damage to both cues. So, I wonder if they were gambling on this. Last week we had the old guy, you weren't here. Guy in Wyoming goes nuts because of a poker game and shoots a bunch of people. This guy goes nuts with a shuffleboard cue. At 81, if they give you 2 weeks, is that life in prison, essentially?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could easily die there.
Apparently, it's a very popular sport for the seniors in Pinellas Park.
I could see that.
Yeah. There's a nice little photo.
And you can play without getting
old
hurt.
People. Dude, I didn't see. This is why I want to die long before I get that old. I don't want to be that guy sitting there playing shuffleboard.
You're close to that, aren't you?
No, 81. Get out of here, dude. There's still about two more wives in my future, probably.
I don't know if you're going to find two more chicks who will marry you.
Probably not.
I think you've kind of maxed that out.
Well, just depends on how much money I have.
Yeah, I don't know that I could find another woman to marry me.
All right, that is your Zadok Jeweler's Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, guys, going to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter. And if your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest, guys, don't despair. There's still hope. Even if you failed the breath or blood test the police gave you. A lot of things about those tests you should know about. Breath tests. They're not accurate. They're not reliable. The police breath test machine isn't even warranted fit for breath testing. It makes temperature assumptions and create artificially high results and destroy the evidence that it checked, making proving or rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Failing that test, not the end of the world. Juries are smart. They're going to notice the problems with that machine. Same with the blood test. They're going to notice that the machine's not testing your actual blood like a doctor would do. And they're going to notice the machine can't positively identify alcohol and can be easily contaminated. That attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state, and he's right here in Houston, and he's experienced in telling the truth about the science behind these tests to juries. If you failed the breath or blood test, DUI, DWI, or boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.